Play ball!
It's 30 with Murdy with your host, Sweeney Murdy.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of 30 with Murdy. I'm actually welcoming myself back after a little hiatus, but back this week with a good episode for you. You've probably heard by now what Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers has been doing, hitting home runs at a record pace, much like the Yankees' own Aaron Judge. I think most of you listening are old enough to remember Clay Bellinger. He played parts of three seasons with the Yankees from 1999 to 2001 as a true utility man. Over those three seasons, he started games at every position except pitcher and catcher, and he was considered the emergency catcher in case of injury for Joe Torre's teams. I spoke to Clay Bellinger this week about his career and about his son's historic home run pace. Clay was a good player. He spent 15 seasons in professional baseball, but his 12 career major league home runs were eclipsed by his son in a matter of weeks. Young Cody Bellinger rode parade floats with his dad after the 1999 and 2000 World Series victories. In this conversation, Clay and I spoke about his own career highlights, including growing up in Oneonta, New York, and we discussed what it's like to watch both of his sons play baseball at such a high level. While Cody is becoming an all-star in his very first season, his younger brother Cole was drafted earlier this month by the Padres and could find himself in professional baseball himself very soon. When I first began covering the Yankees in 2001, Clay Bellinger was one of the first players I met, and I vividly remember meeting his younger son Cole at a Tampa restaurant that spring training. So it was fun for me to go back and revisit with Clay some of his fondest memories of his time in pinstripes. And if you're wondering what he's doing now, besides marveling and beaming at his son's exploits on the field, Clay is an active firefighter in Gilbert, Arizona. That's part of her conversation as well. Monday morning, a few hours before his son Cody was named National League Player of the Week for the second time already this season, Clay Bellinger was kind enough to spend 30 with Murdy. You grew up in Oneonta. I want to know, what do you remember about the first baseball game you ever went to?
I'll be honest with you. I think I went to Yankee Stadium once as in high school, and it was pretty funny because I remember we were sitting out in right field, and I don't know if I ever talked to Dave, but we were out in right field, and the Winfield was out and playing right field. And I can't remember if he struck out or he had just said it wasn't, the day wasn't going as well as he probably thought it was. And he came, you know, in between innings, he came, you know, jogging out to right field. And there was, you know, how people get in Yankee Stadium every once in a while when they start, they're not afraid to heckle even a home player. And so there was a couple guys that were on him. And you could just tell he was a little frustrated. And I'm almost positive he turned around and flipped everyone the bird, and everybody just kind of went crazy. So, but yeah, I remember sitting out in right field, and I'm almost, yeah, you know, like I said, I'm not 100% sure, but maybe, you know, 95% sure that something like that happened. But yeah, that's, like I said, I didn't really go to Yankee Stadium all that much for some reason.
It's a good thing people didn't have iPhones back then, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I'm telling you what. You know, maybe you can just say there was a player instead of Dave.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to throw Dave underneath the bus.
Too late. Cat's out of the bag. It's all right. I'm sure he can. Yeah. I'm sure he can deny it. So, did you go? Listen, the Yankees had a farm team in Oneonta. Did you go to a lot of games there?
I did go to a lot of Yankee games. I mean, really, to be honest, not. We watched a few of them, but basically, we were just hanging out in the parking lot chasing foul balls. So it was like a, you know, we used to race and see who could have the most of them at the end of the day. But, you know, we'd stand up on a small fence and head on the outside and just kind of wait for a lefty to come up, and they hit him out in the parking lots, and we'd just go chase him.
You remember, the Yankees had a lot of good players back then. Do you remember any of the guys that you saw play there?
You know, I remember Elway playing there.
No kidding. Yeah, you remember seeing him there?
Yeah. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to the game. And I don't know, gosh, like I said, this would have been, I graduated in 86. So, you know, we were down there probably from, you know, probably early 80s to, you know, I don't know if I went down as a, you know, when I was in high school the last couple of years, but, you know, probably as a 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, 11 year old, I was probably down there running around.
Wow.
So I don't know who would have been there at the time.
Yeah, it was a pretty big deal, though, that John Elway was there, huh?
Yeah, it seemed like some headlines.
Wow. So you ended up playing ball at Rollins College, and you were a second-round pick of the Giants. I didn't realize this till just a few days ago. Can you tell people who the scout was that signed you for the Giants?
Yeah, it was Don Zimmerson.
Yeah. How did that relationship start with you and Tom?
Well, I mean, back then it's just so different. You know, I basically got a call. It used to be where back then they did fill out like a little piece of paper, you know, you're willing to sign and, you know, what round and a little bit shorter version of what it is today. And I think, you know, the day of the draft, it happened. I got a phone call and he introduced himself and, came over, sat down, you know, a few days later and talked. And then he told me who he was and, you know, that his father was down. And I think maybe my first spring training, which was 98, big league spring training. I met him, I met him, and you know, we talked a little bit, and kind of the conversation got brought up about my son drafting me, and so that was kind of a cool starting point, you know, for me and Jim.
That connection wasn't made again until after you got to big league spring training? Like, that connection with Zimmer didn't have anything to do with you signing a minor league deal with the Yankees or anything like that?
No, not at all.
Wow, so nice coincidence, huh?
Yeah, it really was.
You, what do you remember about Everett Washington, first stop in a long minor league trail?
Everett Washington, what do I remember? Yeah, obviously, you know, it was the first stop. Remember just, you know, it was really, I'm thinking it was my first time ever getting on a plane, because I used to drive everywhere. I drove down to college with my roommate. I think it was the first time on a plane to go out to Everett. So that was, you know, kind of a big deal. I remember the field. I remember the clubhouse on top of the hill. I remember obviously the, you know, meeting the guys in my draft year. I still keep in touch with a couple of them. Not too much here and there, but remember the travel and the grind and the 12-hour bus rides and 14-hour bus rides and playing the game and getting something quick to eat and then literally, you know, staying on a bus all through the night, getting there 2-3 in the afternoon and having to play a game at 7 o'clock. So that's to say that's a grind. That's an understatement.
You had a pretty normal move through the minor leagues right up until 3 years at AAA with the Giants. How frustrating did that get, that you were that close and you spent 3 years there?
I mean, yeah, of course, your goal is to get to the big leagues as quick as you can. I moved up, you know, every level, every year. But I didn't. I'm trying to think of my years in 93, 94, 95. They weren't spectacular, you know, years by any means. So, you know, they were going to call me up unless I had I finally did something really, really good. I became a utility guy and I think it was 94 where I learned how to play second and learned how to catch. And then I started to basically move it all around. And I think that actually kept me, you know, it kept me in the game. Whereas if I didn't do that, then, like I might have even been out, you know, before I even made it to the big leagues with the Yankees.
You got to spend 2 years at AAA with the Yankees in 97 and 98 when, you know, they had just won a World Series and then they were going on the run that they had in 98. What do you remember about playing at Columbus during that time and seeing what the Yankees were doing?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like I said, I went as a minor league free agent over there in 97 when they had just won. You're hoping that you can get up there and get a taste of that. Obviously the big leagues, but you know that with that young core and the guys they had there, it was probably going to be around for a while. So you're just itching to get up there. We were playing. They were doing that good year in 98, and then they won it. You know, I signed back with them again, you know, in 99, hoping that, I'd get a chance. And that's really kind of happened. You know, I had really good spring training and big league camp in 98 and probably even better than I had one in 99 when I ended up making the team. But, you know, it's always a numbers game and, you know, you got guys you have to keep. And so, but yeah, signed back and, you know, good things happened in 99.
Yeah, tell me about that spring training in 99. It was a little chaotic with the Yankees because Joe Torre got ill and was away from the team for a little while. And turns out Don Zimmer, you know, is right there. And there was a family connection. Zim was managing the team. What can you tell me about the way that spring played out and when you finally found out that you made the roster?
I had a decent spring. I had a better one the year before, but I was, an invite for the first time, and I'm sure I probably opened some eyes then. I remember Zim talking to me. I think it was during spring training. We sat down and talked, maybe out of the dugout, and he was just asking me, about my life and playing minor league ball for 10 years. And the coolest thing, one of the coolest things he ever said to me, he's like, man, I wish you were. He's like, where were you in '89 or '88 when I guess he was the manager for the Cubs? And he's like, man, I'd had you on my team, in a heartbeat, and he'd probably still be there. One of those kind of things. He just, he loved the way I finally found somebody, that really, liked the way I played. Like I said, I was never a superstar, but I played the game right, and I could play every position and played them, fairly well. I think really well, and could run the base as well. Not with a whole lot of speed, but, I did the little things. And so, when he said that, he's like, man, I wish I was with you, or you were with me in Chicago. But it was the end of spring. I think we were out and we had that exhibition, tour right after spring training. We flew to Houston. We actually opened up that park. Mm-hmm. We flew to San Fran and played, in the park there now. I think it was the second game. And then we flew to L.A., had an exhibition game, and Zim and Cash called me in the little office down there, and that whole bad news, good news scenario came up, and he told me I made the team, but there really wasn't any bad news. So yeah, Zim was basically the one, because Joe was out, who told me I made the big leagues for the first time.
What do you had, like you said, you spent 10 years in the minor leagues. When you're finally told that you're making the big league roster at that point, do you remember what your reaction was, what you did, who you called?
So we were sitting in the room, and he kind of told me that, and I was waiting for the bad news, and there wasn't any. So, I stood up, shook their hands. I think I broke down a little bit. I said thank you. I think I walked out to the dugout. Just kind of took it all in. It was, there wasn't anybody, out in the field yet. And I think I believe Girardi came up, because he was, playing back then. Came up, and I told him, told him what happened, and I think he actually gave me a hug. So it was pretty cool. Hmm. And obviously, I called. I called Jen and let her know. And that was the beginning right there.
What was your relationship like with Zim as the years kind of went on?
It was Zim. He was he was Zim. I think this is probably the only there's ever going to be one Zim. If you ask anybody, he could tell a story. He could get fired up with just about anybody. And if you were doing well and playing the game right, he loved you. And if you were doing it wrong, he'd jump you, without question. So it's hard to have a real good relationship with coaches. But I could say that we had one. There was just a lot of talking going on. And obviously in '99, I wasn't playing a lot. I was happy to be there, but it was a little frustrating. We always wanted to be out with you. So we'd have some talks.
The 99-2000 teams, you ended up playing a little bit more with, I think, in 2000 because of the injury to Bernie, and you got some center field time. But your value to that team is, I think, a lot similar to what a lot of managers say they're looking for now: flexibility on their roster, being able to play multiple positions on defense, base running, things like that. How did you view your role there with all the superstars around you and the Yankees playing for championships? And how did you stay sharp and manage to do what you had to do after having been an everyday player in the minors for so long?
Yeah, I knew that was my role. Like I said, in '99, I didn't play hardly at all. Like you said, it was being a competitor, that was tough. I loved my time there, but I can't remember if it was like May or June. It must have been May. I don't even think I stepped on the field once. I don't think I ever got on that bat. I don't think I ever pinch ran, or it was just really, really weird. And then, obviously in 2000, I played quite a bit more because I think Bernie got hurt. It seemed like everybody was getting hurt, and I'd go, play those positions for a week or 4 or 5 days. And, you know, I said, you know your role. I knew, you know, that if, you know, Tino got on late, I was going to pitch one for him. If Justice, you know, got on late, I'd pitch one for him, or I'd go out there and play defense. So I knew if I wasn't starting that there was a really good chance, you know, especially if it was a close game, that I would be in there somewhere. You know, and then I went out and played, I don't know if it was 2000, 2001, when, you know, I'd always go out and play second base, you know, late defensive in a game. So I knew that I was going to, you know, get in the game. You know, I had a good feeling. And then, yeah, I mean, basically you just take your BP every day, and that was literally, you know, I would go around the infield and take, you know, 10 ground balls, you know, 10, 12 ground balls at every position, and I'd go out in the outfield and, you know, just pick a position one day and just, you know, sack some flies, try to rob some home runs and all the fun stuff that you like doing when you're not playing.
Is there a game or two that sticks out in your mind during your time with the Yankees?
I mean, obviously the you know, the World Series games.
Yeah.
You know, experiencing that, it was really weird because in 99, when we got to the World Series, even though we were facing the Braves, it was just like, we knew that it wasn't going to be close. It was just really weird the way the guys were talking. And sure enough, it happened. In 2000, obviously, it was pretty incredible that you can just literally jump on a bus and go to the away game.
Right.
And be back home when you're bed, you know, instead of jumping on a plane for 4 hours and staying away. And I actually think one game during the 2000 World Series that we were waiting for the bus, and I think, I believe it was Girardi and I, we actually put one of the police officers said, I'll take you over the game. So we jumped in the cop car and went over the stadium. And, you know, we were there in, I don't know, 20, 25 minutes or however long it took. And then obviously the whole, you know, 2001, when all that stuff went on, and, yeah, you know, coming back for games 3, 4, and 5, I didn't play in any of those games, but literally just sitting in the clubhouse at, you know, midnight or 12:30 or whatever it was. And even though we won, you know, those three probably the best World Series games in the history, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there, how drained, you know, I was. And I wasn't even playing. Nobody wanted to eat. We were just hanging out going, man, did that just happen? And the next day it was like, man, did that just happen again? And yeah, you know, the third day it was like, you know, there's no way that just happened again.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would probably say just the World Series games.
What do you remember about the last out in 2000? You're on the field. You were on for defense for Justice. So when Bernie races way back,
Bernie took that ball away from me, man.
Were you close? I don't see you in the highlights. How far were you?
Yeah, I was maybe 50, 60 feet away. I was going to catch it, though. Actually, if he wasn't, I would have caught it.
What do you remember about that sensation, that feeling of watching him squeeze that last out?
Yeah, like I said, it was, you know, I don't remember where we went. Were we at home in 99?
In 99 you were at home, and then in 2000,
I mean, obviously I wasn't on the field in 99, the last one, but yeah, you know, like I said, sitting out in left field going mail and out of the way, and then the ball came off. Kind of, you know, I thought I was going to catch it, and then, you know, obviously Bernie called it off, and you know, it was over. But yeah, just to be out in the middle of the pile. And even, like I said, even when we won 99, I was, you know, if I wasn't the first, I was, you know, me and Spence or whoever, you know, we were on the top thing, getting ready to go over the rail and, you know, trying to get into that pile as soon as we could. So, yeah, there's no better feeling in any sports, if you ask anybody who's won a championship, is that last out, or that, you know, when the time clicks off the clock and, you know, you guys are champs.
Well, your son Cody was just a little boy when that happened, and now he's doing what he's doing. Goodness, what do you think of the type of player that he's turned into and the start he's off to?
You know, obviously he's, you know, which is crazy. He's doing things that, you know, nobody in the history of the game has done. I mean, you know, nobody expects that. You know, did I expect him to go out and play well? Yeah, I mean, this well as far as home runs. You know, of course not, but yeah, you know, I've told them all along that, you know, with your work habit and your willingness to get better, you know, I told him he could be a superstar in this game, and, you know, more importantly, I want him to be my wife and I, and we want him to be a superstar off the field too, you know. So I think he's handled himself really well. You know, he's, like I said, you know, I've always told him, you know, I said, you can run, you can throw, you know what I mean, and you obviously you know, one of the, you know, if you get a chance to play every day, you're unbelievable defensively. And, the whole outfield thing, he's worked hard at, because, you know, they asked him a couple years ago, I'll go out and do it. And he just kind of, you know, he used to do it in high school, but so he's worked on that pretty hard, and he's done, you know, amazing out in the outfield too. So it's going well for him now. And that's, you know, hope, like I said, hopefully it keeps up for, you know, another 4 or 5 months this year, and then another, you know, 10, 15 years, who knows.
Was Cody with you during, like, the World Series parades and stuff? Do you remember taking him out?
Yeah. He's been doing tons of interviews going on. And, you know, he does. In 99, I think he would have been 4. In 2000, he was 5. But, yeah, he remembers the parades. He remembers the floats. He remembers, you know, just all the people. And, you know, he remembers people throwing, you know, stuff, the toilet paper at us, and him hucking them back out in the crowd. He remembers that. Obviously, Cole, you know, being 1 and 2, has no recollection.
Yeah,
but he was also on those floats too. So, but yeah, Cody remembers all that.
Do your kids, and Cole, we should mention for people who didn't hear, was just drafted earlier this month, 15th round by the Padres. So you got two sons playing professional baseball now. Do those guys pick?
We haven't signed yet with the Padres. We're still trying to figure a couple things out, so we'll know in the next couple days.
Okay, at least drafted into professional baseball.
Do
your kids ask you a lot of questions about your time? Do they want to hear stories about Derek Jeter or Mariano Rivera and Bernie Williams and people like that?
No, not really.
I mean, like, you know, Cody, you know, if you read some of his interviews and stuff, he says that, you know, he remembers, you know, being around the clubhouse. You know, now looking, you know, now obviously in the position he's in, you know, being around, you know, big leaguers and the stars that he's around now, he kind of reflects back on, you know, man, my dad played with some really good players, you know, and had some really good coaches around him, and, you know, Hall of Fame players. And, you know, so as a young kid, you know, I don't think you really, I don't say recognize, but acknowledge, you know, what's going on around. You know what I mean? You know, your dad done it. On a baseball team, and yeah, to win the World Series. And, you know, I think as you get older, you know, if you can look back on it, like I said before, it's like, man, those are pretty good teammates.
When did you start to realize how good your kids were at baseball? I mean, you were obviously have some genes because you were a good ball player. But when did you start to realize what their future could be?
Literally, when Cody was, you know, 3, 4, 5 years old, that's all he did. I mean, it was, if you look at it, you know, all videos and stuff, it's just he's always playing catch, he's always hitting off the tee, he's always doing something. And it was just nonstop, literally from that age on. And, you know, obviously he had success in Little League, and we went to Williamsport, and, you know, he was always one of the better players as a younger, you know, playing with older kids all throughout his life. And then he finally started to grow in his junior year, and, you know, he grew 6-7 inches, and, you know, he could just see he was going to be a good ball player. And Cole, you know, Cole's basically always been more of a two-way player. He's always a really good pitcher. Hasn't, you know, never pitched, you know, a whole lot, which was good. But so I would think, you know, their stages through life, I think Cody might have been a little bit better hitter. Cole was, you know, actually, even though Cole does both, I could project Cole being a better pitcher than Cody was at that time. So, yeah, like I said, it's just, you know, baseball today is all about projectability, you know. And mm-hmm. Like I said, you look at Cody, you look at his frame in high school, and you know, you can just envision 20, 30 pounds on that frame and what could happen. And the same with Cole, you know, he's 6'1", you know, 6'2", maybe. And, you know, he's never really worked solely on pitching, and he's a pretty good pitcher. You know, he can, every once in a while, he can get up to 90, 91. And, you know, he's still only, you know, 170, 175 pounds. So, like I said, it's all, you know, what does the future hold 4 or 5 years from now? And so, yeah, that's what, you know, hopefully we're looking forward to with Cole. And, you know, if it's either the minor leagues right now, or he goes to college for 3 years and then see what happens after that. But, yeah, you can tell when there's some good kids and they have that good distinct sound appeal and they've got good actions, that some of those kids are going to be good players if they continue to work at it.
Where's Cole going to go if he doesn't sign?
He's going to, you know, Grand Canyon. Got a scholarship to Grand Canyon.
Nice.
It's in Phoenix, you know, 45 minutes away.
if you're, which we should tell people is where you're living these days. When you're watching Cody do what he's doing right now, I mean, he's hit more home runs in the month of June than you hit in your entire major league career. I would imagine that as a dad, you're just watching him as a dad. There's a certain feeling, but watching him as a dad who knows how hard it is to do what he's doing makes it go to a different level for you. What's it like? What's it been like for this? Just in his last month, 2 months, when you're watching him do historic things, knowing how hard it is.
The biggest thing for me is, I know one of the coaches, fairly well, and just talking to people, I talked to, like Nomar the other day after the game. He's one of the announcers, and Hershiser, and just, they're like, the thing they enjoy the most is, he shows up to the field at, 1 o'clock, 1:30, and he's just getting ready for the game, and he had a great quote yesterday. I don't even know about it, but I guess every day in the clubhouse, I guess Manny Mota walks in and says, he already got paid for yesterday. So basically, don't worry. Whatever he did yesterday is gone. Now you got to get paid for today. And I thought that was an unbelievable quote. And I thought that was actually pretty cool. Yeah. So there's guys, walking around the clubhouse, who have been there and, legends, and they, they're keeping them on a level-minded keel, which is cool. But, like I said, playing the game, this is obviously the hardest game by far in the world to play. I don't care, who said it different. They don't know what they're talking about, but he just works really hard, you ask anybody, sometimes you get locked into the player and, but just as easily, he knows that, with a little tweak here, a little tweak there, things, are always going to be as good as they are right now. So he's just trying to stay consistent. He said the other day that when he gets in trouble, he's trying to hit home run, but when he's going really well, he's just trying to, to smash the ball. And then obviously, everything will come from there. It's just, it is fun to watch. It really is. He's already made adjustments at the plate, with his stance and his, in and off, and realizing what, pitchers are getting him out on. And the next time, hopefully he's making adjustments that, they're not going to get him out on that again. And he understands that. And I think that's, for a 21-year-old, that's pretty good.
Clay, one thing I've learned is watching great players, they're thinking about right now, and they're thinking about how to be great today, and they don't think about what is down the road a great deal. That's what fans do. We sit there and say, wow, look at this kid. Look how good he can be. He obviously isn't thinking that way because he's doing what he's doing, but do you start to think that way? Do you watch him and just wonder, wow, how great a player can he be?
I guess you can project it out, but it's just, it'd be kind of silly to do that. I mean, really, because like I said, it's obviously, this isn't going to last, forever, hopefully it does, but it's kind of impossible, but like I said, that he can, with the way he hits and I believe he can hit for, me personally. I believe he can even hit for a higher average, mm-hmm. But yeah, like I said, when you can run and you've got a really good arm and you've got really good instincts and you're willing to work at it, then obviously you're going to give yourself a chance to do some good things. And, hopefully, there's nothing that's going to come in and deter him from that path. But yeah, I can't, hopefully he's not. I don't think he is, but you can't look. You can't look past, today. Tomorrow, you don't know what's going to happen.
Did he give you any grief when he passed your career home run total?
I think my wife gave me more, to be honest with you. there was some, we were watching a game on TV, and I think the day he tied me, she was like, oh, he just tied you. I'm like, yeah, okay. And that's literally, I think it was the next day where he hit his 13th. There was pretty close to that. Yeah. Of course, she said, well, there you go. He just passed you. And I said, yeah, I know him. I think he called and we talked after that game. And I told him, obviously, it's not a huge milestone. It's 12 home runs.
That's
it. Whatever it was. But
it's 12 more than I've got, so don't worry.
For him doing it that fast, I guess it was.
Yeah, well, it's 12 more than most of us listening have. So I think that I tore you down. I built you back up. How do you like that?
Yeah, there you go.
Played 15 years of baseball. You ended up living in Arizona and became a firefighter. Tell us what drew you to that and what, you know, what your days are like.
Yeah, I mean, you always think, you know, you ask a kid, like, you know, I say before, you ask a kid when he's young, what do you want to be? What do they say? Baseball player, an athlete, and firefighter.
Yeah,
you know? So I just had some friends who were in the game who got out a little bit before me, and they still live out by me, and they started testing, and a couple of them got hired, and it was kind of early 2000s where, you know, kind of had a feeling not too far down the road I'd be done, so started looking into it and started, you know, went down the station with the guys and started doing some ride alongs. Just loved just the way of life, you know. I'm not a suit and tie guy. I'm not a 9-to-5 guy. Depending on what station you're in, you know, basically all over the country, it's, you know, there's 4 guys, there's 8 guys, there's 10 guys, there's 12 guys, depending on the station and how many trucks you got there. And it's a small clubhouse where, you know, hopefully you get along with who you're working with, and, you know, you're joking and you have tons of fun and you work out. But, you know, when the tones go off, it's, you know, it's serious. You know, you flip the switch, boom, and you decide what you got to do and what the call, kind of call it's going to be. And, you know, you're out there serving the public, and, you know, at least, you know, where we are, you know, people love us. And it's a good gig. It really is. I think if you ask, you know, any firefighter around the country, it's, you know, if they could probably be an athlete, I mean, they probably would, but, you know, behind that, it's fulfilling and satisfying, and, you know, you get to save lives, and there's nothing better than that.
Have you had any dangerous moments?
I wouldn't say, you know, near life, anything like that. I've been in, you know, unfortunately, we don't get a whole lot of fire, you know, in Gilbert. Mm-hmm. It's mostly a newer community. You know, the older cities like Mesa and obviously Phoenix and around us get quite a bit of fire. But I've been in some good ones. I've seen some pretty nasty, you know, car accidents. But, you know, knock on wood, I've been pretty fortunate. You know, we are, the way we do things out west is a lot different than, you know, fighting fires out east. And, you know, it's two different, you know, it just seems for some reason it's two different strategies. And we're just, I don't know. We just take safety. Obviously, everybody does. But no, as far as that, you know, knock on wood, like I said, yeah, it really hasn't been any close calls, and hopefully there never, ever will be.
Sure. I'm thinking now, because you mentioned it earlier, you were in New York on 9/11, and you know, that first week, you were part of the team when they were, everything was happening with the police and the firefighters, all the first responders. Did being there at that time and going through all that shape you in any way as you went on your career as a firefighter?
I mean, looking back at it, I wouldn't say I was there in the moment and, oh, you know what, this is, you know, I think, you know, when I do get out, this is what I'm going to do. It wasn't anything like that, but obviously it's respect for, you know, for what these guys did. We went down to the Port Authority. I think we're, you know, all the off-duty guys or off-shift guys were just hanging out. You could see the exhaustion, you know, with them, and, you know, just how much passion they had to get back in the, you know, basically get back in the fight and get down there and, you know, keep trying to find survivors and clean up. And, you know, it's a different breed, you know, whether you're police or fire or, you know, anybody who volunteers or, you know, and I saw that, you know, that part of it. Not that I didn't know it wasn't there before, but, so I think in that way, you know, realizing that, you know, that's something that I might want to do, yeah, it definitely helps out. And obviously when you get sworn in and you're actually out there doing, you know, similar stuff, obviously not at that drastic proportion, as I've said before, it's super satisfying.
Clay, listen, thank you for taking all the time. I think everybody who watches baseball has really had a lot of fun. I mean, New York, we're watching Aaron Judge doing what he's doing. On the other coast, your son has a connection to New York because of you. So I think everybody around this area has really, you know, kind of taken a liking to just watching what he's doing and recalling your name along the way, too. So congratulations to you as his father. And listen, continued good luck and success for Cody, for Cole, and hope we keep hearing the Bellinger name in baseball for a long time, because I think it's a lot of fun for all of us.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool. It's been a great ride. It's been a great story for baseball. Not to tell, not to tell your name, but what Cody's doing and what Judge is doing. And tell all these stinking young phenom under 25 kids. There's some super talented baseball players out there, and it's great for the game. It's fun to watch.
Don't be upset if at home run derby time, fans around here are rooting for Judge more than they're rooting for your son.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully, it'd be kind of cool if it happens, though. And like I said, if it does happen, it's funny because he's not a BP kind of guy. Mm. It's really, he doesn't hit a lot of home runs in BP, but it's just, if he gets invited, though, he says he's going to go do it and he's going to have fun with it. And because his swing in BP is not anything like the total attack that he does during the games.
Would you throw to him if he was invited?
Yeah, I would.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, hopefully in the next couple of days we'll figure something out. But, yeah, he asked me if I get invited, will I do it? And I said, yeah, I'll go do it. So.
Fantastic. I think that's something for all of us to look forward to. What a great moment that's going to be for you. Listen, Clay, thank you again for all the time. And I guess we'll wait to see. I don't think you have to be checking the mail for the invitation. I'm sure it's on its way. I'd start packing your bags and enjoy the ride because it's a fun one. Thanks so much.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And there you go. Clay Bellinger enjoying baseball life once again through the achievements of his children. Very happy for Clay and his family and wish them a lot of success still to come. I suppose if Clay wants to get back at his son for doubling his own career home run total of 12 before the All-Star break, he can always point to the two World Series rings he owns and tell him he needs to win 3 in order to push him aside there. Who knows? The way the Dodgers are playing now, and thanks in part to Cody Bellinger, of course, he could have his first one of those before this year is out. That's all for now. Please check out our 30 with Murdy archive on play.it, iTunes, and WFAN.com. You can check me out on Twitter at YankeesWFAN and on Instagram at Sweeney_Murdy. That's Sweeney. And on Facebook, search for the Sweeney Murdy page. Thank you for listening.